This is Pocket Presents, powered by Sleeper. Pocket Presents gang, what's up, man? We are back with another episode. This time, we've got some crazy things that went down in the NFL this week. Dennis Allen's gone. Cowboys suck. Potential Dak on IR, probably by the time that this is posted, he will be on IR. Commanders loading up, some trades going down, and Preston Smith sent to Pittsburgh per request. We've got a lot of things to talk about this week, but I will say, I feel like we know who's who at this point in the season. I feel like my pick'ems, dude, I've been like 12 plus wins every week in my pick'ems for the last month. I feel hot finally. It took me a little bit of time to get hot, but I feel hot. Player props are a little weird right now. Puka Nacua throwing punches, getting ejected from games, costing you some entries. I know Sleeper voided it. Shout out Sleeper. Appreciate that. But there's some weird stuff going on right now in the player props segment. But these teams, man, the playoff picture's heating up. Some of these team seasons are already over and we're not even into week, and we're in week 10 now. So it's just crazy, Tyler. It's crazy business right now.
It is. We have so many teams that have only two wins. I think it's something like nine teams that have two wins across the NFL, which has to be the most given this point of the season. And I also feel like we should just rename this section of the podcast, Kurt doing his victory lap, because as I look at our topic list here, we have Dennis Allen getting fired. You retreated back into your hole a little bit after they started 2-0, but they have now gone on a seven-game losing streak.
They had me in the first half, I'm not going to lie. They had me in the first half, but look, like, and everyone wants to say, like, it's the injuries, this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, every NFL team has injuries. Every single one of them. Some more than others. Yes, the Saints did have more than others. But the Saints got their quarterback back and still lost to the Panthers, right? Like, let's just call it as it is. The Saints have underperformed for a while. The Falcons have taken over the division. The team that's really decimated in the wrong way, in my opinion, by injuries is the Bucs. Losing Godwin, losing Mike Evans for a while. Those ones, like, I don't know, man. I don't think the Saints can make the same injury excuse as some other teams. They do have injuries, but you're still 2-7. And I don't know, man. Good teams find a way to win. The Packers. Packers had some injuries. Packers won games without Jordan Love. I don't know. We all knew it. It just took a little bit of time to marinate. Some takes take a little longer to hit than others. And that one, I'm a little bit upset that I let them, you know, pigeonhole me back into my little corner, but I'm back, baby. Saints suck.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend to act like I know what Saints fans are thinking. I do imagine they were really excited when they started the season 2-0, but now I imagine that they look at next year's cap situation being something like $80 million over the cap. The Saints have been in this position where they've just been kicking the can down the road for years and years and years. There's probably a sigh of relief if you're a Saints fan that this looks like it's going to be a hard reset. You might be having to buckle in for a longer rebuild, but are you expecting the Saints now go clean slate and start anew next year?
Yeah, I think the Saints got a full-on reset. One of those, get rid of everybody, trim as much fat as you can, bring in a new staff that you're going to give a couple of years to rebuild, because at the end of the day, you've got to hit in the draft and you've got to become another destination spot for free agency. So they need to be starting from scratch.
The Cowboys are another team you pegged at the beginning of the year as being a little lower on than a lot of other people might have been. They're not currently in the playoff picture. I know you just did a video rebuilding the Cowboys in Madden. Hey. What do you make of the situation? It's obviously now been complicated that Dak, as you alluded to, might be going on IR. Is this a Mike McCarthy has to watch out for his job situation, or is he saved by the fact that Dak is, you know, now going to be missing a couple weeks?
I think that if this was any normal owner, it'd all be blown up, start from scratch. And look, there's a lot of really good young coaches out there that know how to put a team together. We see it year in and year out. You got the Ben Johnsons of the world that'll be coming up. You've got Bobby Slowick that is going to be coming up in the Texans, who they've found ways to win regardless of the injuries that they've had. Talk about a team that's had a lot of injuries. They have like one receiver now. I just think there's young offensive minds that are playing present day football. And with the Cowboys, look at them. You look at the Cowboys right now. You've got an owner that's stuck in the 90s. You've got a head coach who is also the offensive coordinator stuck in the early 2010s. And then you have a defensive coordinator that's stuck in the early 2010s. Everything about this Cowboys defense is a decade to two decades, if not three decades old, philosophically. Blow it up. Maybe sell the team. You probably won't. Hire a GM. Hire a real GM. Get a young guy. Get a guy with a bright mind that's young, can see the future a little bit, and see that you just can't show up and win games because you have a star on the side of your helmet. Damn.
Moving over.
That kind of felt good to say.
You laid into them. You laid into them. And
they deserve it, dude. They suck. Like, They suck.
And that's nothing fans probably don't know. And I think when you look at a lot of fans talk about their own team, it is a frustration with Jerry Jones and the entire Jones family just running the Cowboys like a mom and pop business. I can imagine it's really frustrating if you were to be a fan.
Like, go down to the deli and get a sandwich, like a homemade sandwich down there, the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, this mom and pop operation that is not done professionally, makes a lot of money and puts a terrible product on the field year in and year out. It's like, even when they were good, you knew they were going to mess it up, because at the end of the day, if you look at the best teams in the league right now, which in my opinion, it's the Chiefs and somewhat the Bills, and then you look at the Lions, like those are kind of like the three that I'm like, these teams just find ways to win in situational football. They don't beat themselves. You look at the Cowboys, what are they going to do to blow it up this week? How are they going to lose this? Like, it is waiting for this terrible ending of every game to happen. They just they need a reset, man. And it's hard when you have all these moments time in and time out, and you're looking at your leader on the team, and you just don't know if he can get the job done the right way. And these losses start piling up, and you're no longer that team that was 12-5 rolling in the play into the playoffs, then getting rolled. It's your bad football team right now.
One of the teams you did not mention in that top three were the Washington Commanders, right now sitting atop the NFC East and eyeing up that one seed. I don't disagree that the Lions are probably the top of class in the NFC, but I want to ask you specifically what you make of Dan Quinn coming in and turning the team around as quickly as he did, because I was certainly critical of hiring a defensive head coach, especially when it felt like they were going to be drafting a young quarterback very early, but he has found a way to make it work in Washington. And now they're loading up again with Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah. What I'll say about Dan Quinn is, from my experience with him, I spent 3 years with him in Atlanta. He does a really good job of letting the offense have their leash to do what they need to do. He gives them the parameters of what he thinks it's going to take, but you see no defensive minded head coach holding back that offense right now. They're slinging it around the field. They're running all over the place. Like, they are not just trying to control the clock, and they're being aggressive too. Like, they are dialing it up on that side of the ball. Now, you also have Jaden Daniels, who is really good at situational football. And at this point in time, I'm looking at it, I'd imagine Dan Quinn sitting in those quarterback meetings and or the QB room meetings from time to time, and he's just providing his insight from a defensive perspective. He's not giving it, this is the way it needs to be done. That's not how he does things. It's a very collaborative group effort to win football games, and that's what I love about Dan. And now you look at other coaches around the league that have lost their jobs that were defensive-minded head coaches. It's sometimes very top-down barking orders, but you can see that the way that the team rallies around Dan, plays for him, the communication that he has, and even just how he does interviews, like how he talks about guys is how he talks to guys. He's not like barking down at people, and I think that permeates all over the building, and everyone believes that he is going to get them in the best spots in situational football and trust that his team is going to get it done.
One more team I want to ask you about before we hop into this week's slate of games, the Chiefs. Producer Roddy put in our notes section, are they the first 3-5 team to go 8-0? And it does seem like they are just finding ways to win. Yeah. However improbable, however much you think they might not deserve to win, they have found ways to win. How sustainable is this Chiefs 8-0 record?
Yeah, I mean, they're 8-0 right now. And again, they find ways to win. And if they get into the when they get into the playoffs and they play a team, if the team on the other side doesn't show up and just out-talent them and outplay them that day, if you keep it close to the Chiefs are probably going to win, because in situational football, they're going to outplay you. Now, do I think it's sustainable? I absolutely do not. I think that if they played the Ravens today, I think the Ravens would run for 150 to 200 yards on them potentially. And I think defense would play a little bit better. Now look, Pat Mahomes played lights out. And I know that I had that tweet that went viral that talked about Juwan Taylor, I believe. Juwan Taylor jumping off false start or whatever. Like, they just kind of find a way. Like, the Chiefs just kind of find a way. But you saw the lack of talent on the field all game long against the Bucs. You did. The Bucs are also a team that has let Kirk Cousins put damn near 1,000 yards on them in two games. Like, that Bucs defense is not a great defense either. So it was about time Mahomes had a good game. I don't think that when they get to the playoffs, this is going to be just the Chiefs are going to Chiefs it, right? Like, the AFC is better than it has been. These teams are getting better. They can win in different ways. I don't know, man. They play the Broncos this week. It could be a weird game then. I'm not touching any of these Chiefs games, not betting on them, nothing, but I'm not buying it. I don't think that they're the best team in the league, even though they're 8-0.
All right, let's move on to this week's slate of games. We'll start with New England at Chicago. The Bears are favored by 6 points at home. I want to start here, Kurt. You see these videos of, the team just looks like they're quitting. I mean, DJ Moore's running the sideline in the middle of the game. They look like they're absolutely falling apart, and it's classic Chicago Bears hiring a coach after drafting a quarterback, looking to probably hire a new coach, maybe in the middle of the year. I mean, what do you think?
The Bears are falling apart, but they're going to win this week. New England's not a very good football team. Caleb's talented enough. Chicago's defense is pretty good. They got their face smashed in last week against the Cardinals, but that Cardinals team is sneaky too. We've been talking about them all year long. They're a team that can run the ball, and they play hard on defense. That was not a good matchup for the Bears. We did pick the Cardinals win last week, just saying that. This week, though, give me the Bears to win. I think Caleb has a good game. I don't think New England is anything special, and I think that Drake May is probably going to struggle against this defense, and it's not all going to be his fault. His receivers, in my opinion, are going to have a hard time getting open. So give me the Bears.
What have you seen from Drake May so far that you've liked or maybe didn't like?
Yeah, I like how he is scrambling and it's translating. I like that he is making plays all over the field. I don't love the accuracy all the time, and I don't love the decision-making all the time. However, he's only played a couple of games. I still don't think that I was like too critical of him in the draft process. Like the same stuff that you're seeing is popping up on film. But he's had, even just to get to overtime last week, like he had a play go his way. Hell of a play. But if the other side of the ball just plays decent defense, that play is over. I don't know. The highs are really high, but the ugly mistakes are really ugly. And I just think that hopefully as he goes, and he gets more reps, he gets an opportunity to keep making those mistakes and learning from the different ones that he makes. And he can pull it all together. But I don't know, man. The fact that he plays in New England and he's got to play the Bills twice a year for the foreseeable future while Josh Allen's in this league, this could be very much a like AFC West type of situation where it's just, it doesn't matter. We'll see, though.
Jets at Arizona. We have a pick 'em. A fun matchup. I would say the Jets probably have to win out or be close to running the table. I want to ask you about a comment I heard somebody make this week, and I wish I could remember who said it, but they described how this Aaron Rodgers-led offense looks like it doesn't build off of itself. Like every play exists in a vacuum and independently of each other, and there's no momentum. When you watch this Jets offense, what do you make of it?
I make of it that they're very streaky, but when they're on a roll, they're nearly unstoppable. And then as soon as they have an incompletion or a penalty or whatever, it is so hard to get back into a rhythm. It's kind of like when you're playing a game of horse or just like trying to see how many shots you can make in basketball in a row in the same spot. If you're in that same spot and the ball is being fed to you, you can just hit and hit and hit. And someone slows down and rolls you the ball instead of passes it to you and it throws you off rhythm. It might take you a few shots to get back in rhythm. And by that time, it's too late. That's kind of how they play. When they're hot, good luck. When they're not in rhythm, it is gross sometimes.
Who do you think has the edge in this matchup as Devontae and Aaron get back on the same page? And on the other side, you have Kyler and Marv looking like they're finally starting to gel.
Yeah. This one to me feels like talent-wise, I think that the Cardinals are the better football team right now, mainly because of how they run the ball. They run the ball really well, which we know the Jets have had a tough time with. Kyler Murray is a problem for a defense like that that has a hard time with rush lane integrity. This is going to be all that comes down to it of, can this D-line generate pressure in the first 2 seconds? If they cannot and they lose their integrity in the rush lanes, Kyler's going to eat them alive because they have no help in the second level. So this is going to be a watch and see. I'm not going to pick either one, but I'm going to give the slight edge to the Cardinals pregame.
All right, Detroit at Houston. The Lions are favored by 3.5. It's going to be an exciting game. There's obviously still a lot of injuries on the Texan side. How much does that impact this matchup?
I think the Lions are going to steamroll them. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFL. I think the Lions are probably going to a Super Bowl this year, and they can win in every single way possible. And Houston is depleted. And I don't know if CJ is going to have enough in the tank with who he has out at receiver to just keep up with this Lions offense. Like they, as long as the Lions don't beat themselves by creating turnovers, they shouldn't lose a game this year.
There's been a lot of conversation around CJ Stroud not having the best year, a bit of a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
A lot of that can be attributed to injuries, especially in the wide receiving core. But yeah. As you're looking at this, is there anything else that looks different, stands out to you as compared to last year?
Honestly, it really isn't. He's making the same type of throws. He's making the same type of decisions. He doesn't have Nico Collins to make those wow plays and flip the field and kind of be that spark plug that gives them momentum. But I also think their line has looked a little bit like it's regressed. Texans haven't lived up to the expectations of who they were going to be this year. They're still going to probably win their division, but they're not a dominant force. Like, they need another recoup of an offseason. They need another good draft class. They've got to beef things up and take that next step to be somebody in this league that can get past just their AFC South.
All right, let's close it out with Miami at the Los Angeles Raiders. The Rams are favored by a point. This all of a sudden turns into a fun matchup. What we might have thought a couple weeks ago is not fun, turns into a fun matchup.
This is a good game. And, you know, Miami's defense played pretty well last week. Their offense, they were rolling until Mostert's fumble. And then they found a way to come back late in the game. I just think right now, the Rams, dude, the Rams have hit stride. Matt Stafford is dealing. And even when he's like throwing risky balls that could be picked, he's coming back and dropping some of the nastiest dimes time and time and time again. I don't think many people are throwing the football like as high as Stafford's ceiling is, as well as he is in this league right now. Some of the throws that he made in that film review that I did, I mean, it was just like zero margin for error. And he was dealing, and they needed him to deal because the game was that close. They were down by 10 at half, I believe. But now they get Puka to not be ejected in the first quarter, coming back. And DeMarcus Robinson, we talked about him today on Twitter. He is really showing up to be that guy, a late riser in his career. Like, he's really dogging right now. And they have Kyren Williams. Like, I think their offense is kind of crazy right now. And then the flip side on defense, their defense is better than I expected. Jared Verse is a dog. Like, Jared Verse has that TJ Watt type of impact on games, and he's only going to get better. So Rams, do not count them out yet. Miami, this is going to be a tough game for you.
It's kind of the difference between competent organizations and not as good organizations. You looked at the Rams, who looked like they sold the house a couple years ago to win a Super Bowl. And you're like, oh crap. Like, they're going to be in the same cap hell that the Saints now find themselves in, but through good drafting and player development, you mentioned Jared Verse, good drafting, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they find themselves competitive, whereas the Saints are just going to hit the hard reset right now.
Dude, two organizations built entirely different. And you look at the Rams, dude, they've hit on their draft picks. You got Puka Nacua, you got Kyren Williams, you got Jared Verse. Like, those are three guys that are cornerstones of organizations. Then you have vets with some juice left in the tank. Like, you can make some fun playoff runs, and maybe the Rams this year become like the 07 Giants. Sneak in, knock a few teams off, because they're a team nobody wants to play. Like, nobody wants to play against Matt Stafford. I don't care what anybody says. If Matt Stafford is on the field, the Rams always have a chance. I don't know, man. They could be a sneaky team. The NFC West is weird this year, for sure. And it's going to be a fun one to see how it like kind of comes down to the wire at the end.
Completely agree. All right, Kurt, let's win some people some money.
What time it is?
Kurt Cousins was three yards short last week. I mean, I don't know if many people were watching the end of that Falcons game, but I certainly was.
3 yards, dude.
3 yards. 3 yards.
3 yards. And now he's got a Saints defense who just shipped off Lattimore. I mean, I'd imagine, again, Kurt Cousins. Then they're going to New Orleans. Kurt Cousins are going to a big game. What we're going to do this week, though, his line is set. Okay, we're going to start now. Let me go hit this record. We're going to start here. We got Kurt Cousins. His line set at 246.5. He's hit above 225 every single game except for week one and last week. Just go back to the well. You know, it's been good to us. We miss one out of every so often. Give me 225 again. A lot of people are taking him down to 200, and I think that's leaving meat on the bone in this game. Give me Kirk Cousins, 225. Now, I'm going to go and also grab another game that I really like that I think is kind of sneaky. If you guys want action in the morning, get some morning action. I'm looking at you, Daniel Jones, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday. You're going to have a big game. Daniel Jones against the Carolina Panthers. People want to write off Danny Dimes. Give me Daniel Jones to have a big game for himself with a whopping 175 passing yards. Whopping. If you really are feeling frisky, go to 150. 150 is safe. 175, slightly risky with Daniel Jones. He had 174 last week in a tough game against Washington. I think he's going to have 175 this week against one of the worst defenses in football. So give me that. And then last but not least, we're just going to add one little one on. Let's see. Where is it? I was already looking at it earlier this week. Where are you? All right, you filthy rascal. Where are you, mister? Oh, they don't have it up right now for whatever reason. I was looking at Goff, but we're not going to take Goff. We're going to go Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts to have 175 passing yards against the Cowboys. I think he might have 300 yards this week. But we only need to get over 2X to place this entry, and we want to make sure that people make money. So we're going to go $50 pays 103. You'll double your money. You have all these three guys. It's simple. 175 yards for Daniel Jones, 175 for Jalen Hurts, 225 for Cousins, who's hit every single week except for the first week and last week. Give it to me. I like it. That's what we're going with this week. We're going to keep it simple. We're going to go make that money. And again, if you guys are new to this, if you guys are not in the action, we've hit, I would say our hit rate this year is probably like 65 to 70% conservatively. We had a stretch where we hit like six or seven straight that kind of buffed us up a little bit, but we're hitting a lot of picks. And if you guys are new to it, like I said, you can use code Kurt to get $100 first time deposit match at Sleeper. $100 in, you get 200 to play with. You come follow our picks. We hit more than 65, 70% of them anyways. All of the picks, double your money or more. I'm not guaranteeing anything, Tyler, but I like it. I like our operation and it feels really good right now.
All right. Well, that is week 9, week 10. It goes so 10. Fast.
It's oh so gosh. Fast, dude.
Week 10.
And we were waiting. We were waiting for so long. And now it's like every week is like, oh my God, the picks are out. The fantasy lineups, the pick'ems, the survivor, like everything's rolling. We're in the thick of it. It's one big blur of a season, but it's been a blast, dude. I'm really looking forward to seeing this build out. Hope you guys are enjoying these, man. If you guys are, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and let me know what you want to see next. We'll be seeing you guys next week. I hope these hit.